let's do it. Thank you for listening to and or watching the Upland Down Under podcast. Tonight's show is recording live on Thursday, the 14th of March at 7 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Going to race through it tonight because, as I said before, we got kicked off. I got to get to bed. Collection reveal in the morning. On tonight's show, we're going to catch up on the Upland market floors, check in on the neighborhood ratings for March. The final frost season pass rewards has dropped. There's St. Patrick's Day sales and events. Spit it out, Ben. There's exhibitor applications for Genesis Week. There's a new in-game general chat, which seems like a throwback to the not-so-great past. There's the imminent South Lake Tahoe collection reveal, as I said. And, oh, boy, the Upland interns have done it again, apparently, with the shenanigans associated with the recent travel bundle sales. The main topic for tonight's show is warning. If you can see the background, I believe the recent and sudden locking of cars to locations is a fair heads up for the community. Probably a fair bit of teeth sucking to come. Are you ready? I'm pretty sure we talked about that loosely last week. Going to dive into that in a bit more depth this week. We've also got three quips about varying features of map assets. And, of course, we'll take a look at another Upland community member spotlight. Care of the dynamic node builders team. All that more on this, the Upland Down Under podcast. This week's show is again brought to you by Aussie Upland community legend Lily Field, which reminds me, I need to go over and share the screen on that one. Bear with me, I'm still getting to grips with this new bloody fandangle thing. Lily one, there she is. There we go. So, yes. Lily has a map asset meta venture called Lilybud Design Group. The Lilybud Design Group currently has a showroom locations in Los Angeles, the Bronx, Rio, London, and Berlin. She's got a wide selection of awesome self-created assets available, from markers in several sizes to assist treasure hunters. She's got deck chairs, gardening equipment, racetrack-themed items, and a whole lot more. Hopefully you caught last week's show and got an entry into the weekly challenge. I saw Beulah Man and Winiasa got some late ones in just in time, because Lily is offering up a full gardening set as a giveaway, which will be run and won tonight. Best of luck on that one, which, if you want a bit of a sneak peek, there you go. Now, one thing I didn't get ready, which I'll just quickly do that now, is I didn't get the market stats. I don't know if you caught me on the Blockweb Beat podcast, but holy moly, how's about the cryptos? Loving what's going on over there. Anyhow, I'll skip ahead because, like I said, I'm going to skip a few things tonight. We're going to get straight into the Breaking Badly news and take a look at what's currently happening in the Upland market floors. Shout out to Swally again for patching these through to me. You're trying to put them together, Swally, and I kept freaking around with the floors in Lake Tahoe and screwed you around a bit. That apologies for that one.
You and everyone else.
All right, so Yeah, the floor battle continues there. So what's going on? 90-day averages. Interesting to see they're both slip sliding away there. Transaction volume down another 1.9%. Trading volume down 1.1%, which is interesting. On the flip side, we've had the unique wallets up again by 2.1%. Let me just boost the size up on this. Maybe that helps see. 2.1% now to over 64,000, which is good to see. Total unminted properties, big jump there, 12,000, of course. I hit those Tahoe as well. Plus, there's a whole bunch of properties associated with that last bundle sale as well. So take a while for that to all settle down, pushing back towards the 300,000 unminted mark. City stats, floor markups, looking at that first. LA just getting absolutely flogged. The USD price is now 28%. Now it doesn't seem that bad. When I was selling for 32 and 31, now down to 28. And also, it's interesting to look, South Lake Tahoe also dropped down 45%. There's still, which is interesting, there's at least a few, now I don't track this on here, but there's a few UPX floors that are also getting established under mint, which is going to be interesting to see what's going to happen there or how they're going to play around with that. So on the flip side, what do we got? Fresno still at 90. Remember, that's been in the green for the longest time. I think I've got some up on the floor that might be stuffing around with that too. Rutherford, way out in the green, and LaSalle, that's the outlier as well. What else? Manhattan, 90%. Santa Clara, 70%. Staten Island, Dark Horse, 92%. And lots in the low to mid-30s. Actual city stats themselves, I forgot to talk about it last week. Your best bet to buy for UPX and Selfie USD is LaSalle, but I would not think that they'd move very quickly there. So jump over to Detroit, that's your next best. And Trenton, buy for $4,443, sell for $3. Not a bad deal. Don't know how fast they move. I do know that when I landed in Stockton on the way to go to Tahoe, I minted up a block in Stockton just to, for the USD flip. And despite the, what's that there, 55%, I think when I looked at it, it was up in the 90s and I listed them for 90, didn't sell, 80, didn't sell, 70, didn't sell. I think I had to get down into the 50% before I managed to flip out those. So yeah, sometimes, although the floor price might look healthy, it takes a while for them to move. On the flip side, yeah, South Lake Tahoe, currently the worst opportunity, buy for just under $20,006 is the floor. That's my one there. And then, of course, Manhattan and Miami also stretching out there. Not looking great. Now, what's any significant movements? Bakersfield up on the UPX and USD. Interesting. Birmingham up on the UPX, down on the USD. Yada yada. Fresno up on the UPX. London down on the USD. Miami up on both. What are we at? Pushing towards 17,000 UPEX and pushing away from the $5, now pushing towards $6, which is cool to see. Oakland having a run on the USD was $3, the floor last week, now pushing towards $4. Rutherford, although it's pretty good markup percentage there, it's getting smashed on the UPX, was almost 60,000 last week, now 48,000. And what else? Stockton, yeah, massive drop there. Look at that, down 30% on the UPX, was 7,000 last week, down to under 5,000 this week, and 25% drop also on the USD, was $4, now at the floor on $3. And that's all I'm going to cover for that tonight, unless there's anything anybody else wants to talk about for markets. All good? All right, and I'll keep racing ahead. So, neighborhood ratings update for March. I should have just stayed there, shouldn't I? Did I forget to get that one ready too? Yeah, I did. Oh, well, the last time I didn't check it, it was Midtown Terrace out in front ahead of, what is it, Quailwood, isn't it? So, maybe that's still the same. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I would assume so. I do know that Quailwood's going to make a run for it, so we'll have to wait and see how that pans out. Skip ahead. Final frost season pass rewards drop. Check out old mate El Slack. He put a video out about this. I thought you baited me in with your title. You know, he's going to go on a big rage about it, but then he ended up being it's pretty fair representation of what was going on, I think. And you seem pretty convinced that they're still going to get you $7 next week. So I know that based on what we've seen so far, Upland's not going to get my $7 next time or my UPX equivalent. So, but yeah, pretty cool to see. I mean, cars and whatnot and clovers and yeah, it's all on track. Was anybody super stoked about that? Like, we've kind of done it to death, I suppose. I don't know, that last drop, did it convince you? Did it push you over the edge? Are you keen? Are you going to sit it out? I'm definitely sitting the next one out.
The last drop, I'm not overly keen. At first, I liked the car, but then I changed it to my what is it, the city one, whatever it's called. But within an hour of treasure hunting, it was just driving me crazy with that car zooming past every time I clicked on my property. So I don't mind it on other people's, but I hate it on mine. With you mostly. I'm not overly impressed, but I do feel like they're getting better. So I am hopeful. I think I will do the next season just to see how it goes and if they do improve and maybe start listening to some, because everyone's saying the same thing like across all platforms. Mm. So hopefully they're listening a little bit to the feedback and take that on. But, you know, you earn $2 million a month. You're being a bit of a tight ass, not pumping out 1,500 or 15,000 UPEX just to support Upland. Like, come on. What's 15,000 UPEX or so to you?
You're slapping me. I'm getting slapped.
100%. Like, do we need to move this show to Tuesday so we can call it Tight Ass Tuesday or something?
Yeah, well, I'm not 2 million anymore. I'm down to 1.75. Hopefully I'll be 2 million again after tonight.
Well, let me rephrase it. It's once every 2 months. So it's roughly, 3.5 million up for you. I'm sure you can afford it. and helps another player cash some dollars into UPEX at the same time.
I suppose, but yeah, there's nothing that I saw that really got me,
super
interested. Now you just yank on my chain, but yeah.
I think we've got to support Upland to a certain extent.
That's part of it, of course, yeah. I'm happy to just let it ride out and somebody else can pick it up. I'll follow along and see how it goes. There were so many good suggestions have been put through as feedback of how things could be improved, and it'd be great to see some of those get implemented. So I guess I'll be taking a wait-and-see approach, because I just look at it like that that's $7 US. Well, I'd pull that out in Australian dollars, and that's over $10. I could do a fair bit with that $10. Tight ass, yes, I am a bit of a tight ass, but I'm putting that money to good use when I'm pulling out, so there's that. And here, all right, we'll move on. We did have St. Patrick's Day. That was pretty cool to see. St. Patrick's Day tomorrow here. I spent the afternoon getting that ready for work with the kids. We're going to be doing some potato stamping, or I think that's what we're going to do. But anyway, what's happening in Upland with St. Patrick's Day? We did have the big sale, of course. That all got gobbled up, lickety-split. There was some available this morning when I looked. I didn't feel any FOMO on that one, so it was easy for me to skip that one. So the party pack, that's all been sold out. Legits, Block Explorers, another good blending opportunity, burning opportunity. Reasonably priced, $12, I suppose. Three NFTs for $12. Yeah, that's probably reasonably priced. Somebody did mention, I forget who it was, somebody said they're one of ones, but then there was some other funny stuff in the text. And Leprechaun Burn Event, I did see this is interesting. They're doing another one of these things where you can burn a combination of the legits and the old Block Explorers. A couple of people actually raced over to Midtown Terrors, my Block Explorer shop, and gobbled up some of my old school ones that I had listed just on the floor at $5. So good on you for that. What do we get? 10 lucky players going to receive 50,000 UPX each as part of the burn. 5 lucky players will be awarded with 0.2 spark. That's better than the poke and eye with the burnt stick. That's pretty good. Eligible for burning to earn points. Yeah, there's all of the old ones, of course. And pot of gold. That's that extra one. So that is pretty cool. Again, not something that I'm super enthusiastic about. How'd you go? Did you pick one of those up? Did you take a punt? Did you get what you were after?
What you got? Yeah, I traded and swapped a bit, and now able to burn one set of the, not the rainbows, the other one, the clovers.
Yep.
Maybe I will burn the three ones and see which of these little map assets I will get.
Nice. And Zoe said in chat, I think it was Zoe, wasn't it, that she got a pot of gold and you've got a burnable set as well. Are you going to burn it or are you going to try and flip it, though? There you go. Don't know. Tight lips. Lily didn't buy. Yeah. I don't know. It's pretty cool. I think it was... Is that all we're going to get? I mean, is it just a sale? Like previous years, we've done like treasure hunting things and there's been all sorts of different community events as part of it. Seems pretty last minute slapped together again. Zoe catches up and says, yeah, definitely going to burn it.
The March Madness from the Hyde Park Ninjas, but it's community driven, not from Upland.
Community.
They're doing some over the month. But I remember... I think X1 said they don't do any scavenger hunts or something like this.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah, it's a bit of a shame because they were a bit of fun. Same with I wonder why they're steering away with the treasure hunts as well. It's always fun to see every now and then somebody will post in general, hey, I was just floating around my Block Explorer and I've got this weird looking treasure pop-up, and it's a pop-up from some obscure event from long ago that somehow got missed in all the chaos. Anyhow, that's how Upland is celebrating St. Patrick's Day. We also had, what other news we got? Oh, we got the, I'll bring that up. Man, StreamYard puts these all up in the wrong order. Not that one. Where is it? This one, Genesis Week. So we've got the exhibitors at Genesis Week. This is pretty cool if you're able to do this. Genesis Week, fast approaching applications in for exhibitor booths. Now, I haven't read this myself. It's going to be interesting to see whether they fix up some of the errors from last year. See this chance to highlight your innovations. Yes, yes, yes. At your booth, it's more than a presentation. It's immersive interactive experience. Yeah, I think that was from all the feedback and that we saw from last year's Genesis Week is one of the most engaging things that was there. Although there was a lot of feedback that it was disappointing that that was happening at the same time as some of the talks. So hopefully they get that sorted out this year. Does it say, do you ensure a smooth application process and a fantastic experience? Here's all the details, ticket requirement. Of course, you've got to have a ticket. Deadline, got plenty of time. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so not a lot, not a whole lot of stuff. Booth fee, $100. Did they charge last year? Becoming an exhibitor at Genesis Week with a modest fee. Maybe they did. I don't remember that. Exhibitor perks, a booth, yes, a table and a cloth, retractable banner, that's cool. Inclusion in the official Genesis Week program highlight, yeah, mentions, but. Yeah, so hopefully they set that up as a bit more of its own thing. Yeah, the $100 entry fee, that's. I don't remember that one. Maybe I'm just brain farting on that one, brain fogging. Yeah, yes, they did really set up.
Retractable banner that will cost a few dollars too, so it's. Not only generating income for Upland, because you get a bit back. I think it's okay to not get everyone who wants a booth and no one visiting the others, because everyone got his own.
Yes. Yeah, that's fair enough, I suppose. What am I doing? All right, let's move on. As I said, I want to race through. So we did also have, let's see. Oh, God, this has been a pain in the ass. No, I don't want to do that one. I want to do this one, please, StreamYard. Okay, so we did have a new in-game chat option pop up, channels general. Have you played around with this? When I saw this, I thought, wow, this is going back to the bad old Telegram days. Long before the Upland community was on Discord, we were on Telegram. And especially for people in time zones like Australia, you would wake up in the morning and you'd have to scroll through, you know, pages and pages and pages just to try and catch up. There was no easy way to search to see what was happening. And then it's kind of weird that they're going back to this system. I think it was Lisette that mentioned that they kind of have to, because turns out there's only a very small percentage of the Upland community that's active on Discord. So this is one of the ways they're trying to hope to get them involved. I put a couple of posts up, but somebody asked about how to check properties, and I just wrote in upx.land. I didn't put, you know, HTTP, www or anything like that, and I didn't see that it turned it into a link, and then, of course, they came along and deleted it, so that kind of sucked. I was like, oh, well, that's it's me done for that. I don't know. Lily, you're a moderator. Have you been playing around with that yourself? Are you in there? Moderating? Do you have to moderate in two places now?
Yeah, I'm in there. Not a lot, because it's harder to do for me while I'm working. Whereas the Discord is up on a spare screen. But I can't watch two chats at once while I'm working. Just the one.
Yeah, it's I imagine it's a bit frustrating. Like, you can't search for any stuff. You just got to scroll through. I don't know. Maybe it's a gateway to get people over to the Discord.
I have or enjoyed it when I've chatted.
Yeah. Is it because you're dealing with new community members, or is it the same crew just in a different kind of platform?
It's a lot of new players, I've found. Oh, they're not new players as in just joined. They're just players we've never seen in Discord.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess if that is the case, then that's the that's it working as it's intended.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. All right. Of course, we did have the Lake Tahoe release last week. I was going to be completely checked out of that one, which I was. I didn't set an alarm or anything. I happened to get up to go for a loo break at about 4 a.m. and I minted a bunch on my tail. I minted a 10 at 26,000 in a row there, and then I cruised over and bought a showroom property and went back to bed. I got to say, what I did see and what I did do, it was maybe the smoothest release I've ever been a part of. No issues whatsoever that I saw. Anybody have any dramas or see any dramas out and about? No. Yeah, I thought the usual drama.
Hey, I got the property sent a press mint and then minted by another. This
yeah,
working as intended, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially like if you're in the USA, close to the, you know, the lightning fast servers and whatnot, that's what you're just up against. There's no getting around that, but yeah. So that's kind of, I got those 10 properties for flip for USD, which I did. I got the showroom property to put up a showroom, of course, and then that was going to be it. And then, of course, I kept looking at Tahoe Keys or whatever it is, and I FOMO'd into one of those for about 100K. And then there was another big push for Pioneer Village, and I kind of FOMO'd into that as well. So I ended up in the hole about 600,000, which I didn't plan on spending, which is going to leave me a little bit short for what I got planned going on for this evening. But who knows? Collection reveal, maybe there will be nothing that's worth having a look at. So we'll have to wait and see. I will, just for shits and giggles, let's have a look at that Pioneer Village, because that was a fairly good one, that one. That all kicked off on Twitter, as far as I saw. If you're not on Twitter, it's good to be over there, even if you only check it every now and then, because there's a lot of stuff that goes on there that's a bit outside of the realms of the Discords and whatnot. So Pioneer Village, it is 100% built or being built. It's looking pretty cool. I initially bought one, and then the one next door was for sale, and I kept looking at it, and there's three or four people on Twitter kind of pushing it, and they ramped up the FOMO pretty good there, so I ended up getting a few more. So I paid something stupid like 200K for this one down here just to finish it off to make sure they're all built. If you didn't get one of if it's post-collection reveal and this isn't a collection and you want to get in on this, I'm not going to try and sell for 200K. I'm not going to try and recoup my losses on that. If this is something you definitely want to get into, send me a DM. I'll probably do a really good deal on one of those for you. Now, we did say it's fully built out, but who knows? With everything that's going on with passes and whatnot and future expansion potential, who knows? They may release another, 20, 30, 40, 100 properties in here. Who would know?
100%.
There were past properties.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the past properties, that'd be all those. Yep.
Also, I'm wondering if it is not a collection, how would that then feature in the month's collection with such building going on? 100%, it's got to give it a pretty good score, doesn't it?
You would think so, but there's no med adventures or anything like that, so who knows? So that's So yeah, you're right. You look across the street, there's definitely another property there which will fill in that gap. So yeah, and maybe some opportunities to get in there at a cheaper price.
You got to remember, there's 1,000 gaps in South Lake Tahoe.
Yes. So, it was a good initiative. I like what they were doing there. But, yeah, I'm, on the back end, I'm kicking myself that why didn't just read the tweet and just go, yeah, that's kind of cool, and then move on with my day, because, yeah, as I said, a little bit short for what I want to do this evening, assuming that's all going to work out. All right, unless anybody else has South Tahoe City release stories to share, I'm going to move on. No, hey, Jenkins. All right, so yes, I did put in the show notes, oh boy, the Upland interns have done it again with the shenanigans associated with recent travel sale, bundle sales. Now, I should have stayed on the share screen there, but it's interesting to note there's still plenty of those available to purchase. Anybody take the gamble on that? I saw there was an equal amount of butthurt, people saying, oh, I barely got the value for what I paid for. Other people, of course, fist bumping and came out of it really well. There's still 133 of the 300 road trip bundles left. The Wanderlust bundles, only 29 of those left. More than half of the Experienced Traveller, the $52 one. And what do we got? 73 of the 300 Master Wanderer, $131. Yeah. So, I don't know. Anybody take a gamble? I did see Upland put a list of the names of the people and the properties they were associated with. I, for shits and giggles, I ripped that list. I took out the duplicates, and there was about 260, something like that. So out of the entire community, there's only 260 people that actually had a go at it. There was assumption.
As usual, I gambled with Upland. Yeah. And, yeah, already got more upicks than I should get from the list because not all packs are on the list, and it's always the same with their list, even if they're using this Google Sheets thing or their Looker Studio, and it's all this. This is just I just got one email from the first pack I bought. This was 2 hours ago, but I bought since right after the release of the packs, and well, this is ridiculous. It's but the one programmer Upland owns is just a bit busy again, I think, with all this stuff going on.
Yes. Yeah, it's a bit of worry. Some people in the email, I believe, it said they were going to get property A, but then when it came to the reality, there was something else entirely. There was, of course, also the shenanigans associated with people were supposed to receive a Series T, but they received a Series 4 instead. And then Uplands had to go and compensate them 50,000 UPEX to make up the difference. So, it seemed, all in all, I checked all my props I got,
and I'm the user ID, which is written in the locked for statement in the API. So I'm sure I will get them if I want them. That's the next question.
Yes. And, yeah, a lot of people did kind of what you did too as well. They took the gamble and, you know, you buy your pack for $52, but you end up with 75,000 UPX. You don't have to go and mint those. You can just bank the, you know, it's just taking a crapshoot at kind of boosting UPX. So that was interesting if you're willing to take that game.
15% more UPX than I would get if I buy direct from the store. So it's not as much as is possible if I buy the properties for USD and sell them for UPX. Exactly. But it's not a loss. I get at least one collection property in all this. So property in San Francisco, which I could sell for more UPEX than I need to mint them. So let's see. After I say, okay, I did enough with all this stuff, let's see what the percentage will be in the end.
So. And what's the least said? 50K difference still won't get them a T if that's what they really wanted. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that's happened previously with some of these things where you missed out on a car and you get compensated, but it's not an equal compensation. It's not making you whole for what you sought up and bought for. So that is a bad look. There's no getting around that. The option to trade for a T would have been better. Yeah, I mean, that would have been a logistical nightmare, but they created the nightmare, so they should deal with it. 50K, just slinging 50K, seems a bit of a cop-out, especially with secondary car market prices kind of taking a pump with everything that's going on. So, yeah, not a good look, I would imagine. So hopefully all we can kind of hope for is that there was lesson learned and same mistakes won't be repeated. Here's a gift by the good old interns. All right, now let me just race ahead. Now, I pegged warning as the kind of main topic to focus on tonight. We did see with the whole release of cars as transportation mechanics kicked in, just suddenly out of the blue, your cars were pretty much locked in the area where they were, and, you know, it was a bit of a kerfuffle to get them moved here, there, and everywhere if you wanted to move them around. I think that is a very clear and fair warning for things like map assets and whatnot. If you've been watching this show, even going back to the previous version of the UDU podcast, I've been warning about this for donkeys and donkeys, saying, you know, get your stuff moved out, get them where you want to put them as soon as possible, because the same thing's going to happen with map assets. We're going to get an announcement. We're going to we're going to get a drop where, yippee, paid transportation mechanics are here. Yay! Now suddenly you can't move any of your map assets without having to, you know, pay for it, without having to do some logistical thing, load it into your truck, move it here, there, and everywhere. Or, yes, you can technically do swaps and kind of skirt around it that way. As we discussed last week, I believe there's a risk associated there of not swapping things of equal value, triggering the bloody red flags. It's going to send you to Alcatraz. So, yeah, I think the movement on the car situation is a heads up that that's probably coming sooner rather than later for map assets. Now, I've been pretty slack, despite spruiking the need to get all that stuff moved as fast as you can. I've been pretty slack on that myself because I've just burnt myself out several times moving map assets on mobile because the widescreen crashes on mobile. It's just absolutely out of control if you want to do anything with map assets. Thankfully, with my new spanky new laptop and with a Bluetooth mouse wheel, that process is now much more easier and very, very few crashes. So I'm kind of back in the mix there, and I've been going ham the last couple of weeks. Now, I shared an image before when we got getting kicked off, and Swally was saying, what the hell's that? Well, I'll go over to that now and give you some indication of the pain in the butt nightmare that I'm going through, which is a privileged position to be in. So won't whine too much. But here's my sheet that I've been working through for the last week and a bit. So basically, I've got all of my, if you listen on the Spotify, I've got a printout. It's basically an Excel printout of all my showrooms on the left, which currently there's 38 of those. I've got all my map assets in columns to the right of that. And I'm trying to work through and get at least two of each moved to every single showroom. Over on the far right, I've also been doing swaps with DTEC, swapping. I had to give him a bunch of the hard jacuzzis and the latest garden bridges as his share for giveaways and whatnot, what he wants to do on his end. So I had to get those to him. I also worked out a deal with him where I was going to list some of his arrows in all of the showrooms all over the place as a seller for him. So I've been working through that as well. Rather than reserve all of these for him and then him reserve them for me, we've just been doing straight swaps. That is a very laborious process. How can I explain? Have you played around with that yourself? It's a freaking nightmare because I go to DTEC's factory. I see the arrow that I want. I want a left arrow. I click on that. I say I want to swap it. I got to scroll through my hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of map assets to try and find the one that I want to swap for. I click on that. Then I have to place the location of his map asset on my showroom property. Click OK. If everything works well, then okay, that's fair enough. The trick then becomes if you go to do a second one, obviously I want multiple map assets on the one showroom. If you're not careful where you place those, if you place the second map asset on the same spot as the first map asset, when he goes to accept that offer, it won't go through because you've got two map assets crossing over on the footprint. It's a freaking nightmare. So there's no... Until the offer is accepted, you don't know what map assets are being placed where. There's no ghost outline or anything like that, which is, it's a real pain in the butt. So if you're somebody who has, you know, even a small handful of map assets and you're thinking, oh, well, when transportation mechanics kick in, I'll just move it later with swaps or whatever. Yeah, that's all well and good, but it ain't a straightforward process. So I think if you have, you know, if you've got more than 12 map assets or something like that, you should seriously start thinking about where you want them placed, even if it's just, you know, South America, North America, as we've seen. Because, yeah, there's so many unanswered questions there with that. And, yeah, like I said, it's a pain in the butt. There's no getting around it. I don't know if
maybe,
you want to speak to
that. I think they got it because these we divide North and South America was announced. They should have just put an update in one of their oldest event pages just to say, hey, update, we just divided the country or the dead mass. Maybe they will announcement, but it's nice to hear that every podcaster is too stupid, simulator, you, all YouTube videos, everyone is putting up warning, 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 warning.
Yeah.
Upland is doing the same shit with the other things too. Yeah, let's see if they do what you want. If everybody's screaming loud for it, maybe we will get it faster than we see. And I think if they do the transportation for stuff, I think it will be in the first iteration that you can only transport your own stuff with your own cars. And in the next years or what, we get this mechanics that I can, that you can hire me to get things moved from A to B.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's not going to come through at the same time. So,
And this displacement crap that you can't see where you put it. I just bought 100 Treasure Hunter markers to put them on the Tokyo properties. And I just imaginary draw the grid lines from the properties, from the background behind the property, just and say, okay, there I get the 5 could got in the first row and then 5 in the second row. Okay, I just swapped 5. Okay, think about, restart the app. When I try to move the 6th, I get the right screen crash because the URL they're using in the background got too long. It's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah, it's also too, that made me think, when I was going to DTEC's factory, like, he's got all of the arrows, like, they've all been minted on his property there. There's heaps and heaps of them. Well, I had to be conscious of which one I've clicked on and swapped for too, because there's no visual representation of, oh, don't click on this one because you've already put a swap in offer for that. And you don't actually find out that information until you're at the very last step and it fails. Meanwhile, you've had to do 15 clicks.
In-game asset search. I agreed to say, okay, I buy the mint numbers 30 to 100 from you. And so I go over the asset search, sorted by the mint numbers, did an Excel sheet and say, okay, I sent an offer for 30, for 31, for 32 to track it, which I sent. So I just don't need to jump to the properties or something like this. But 5 in a row, then restart all, and the next 5, and restart all, and hours later, I got maybe 15 or 20 done, and said, okay, so I need to reserve some time slots for doing this.
Yes, well, you're doing it the smart approach. I'm just a knucklehead, so I just go to DTEC's factory floor and just click on them and swap from there, so that becomes a nightmare. Yeah. But yes, I will just share... you know, some people have asked, is Midtown Terrace making a push for the neighbourhood ratings? There's, you know, some people think I've got all these sort of secret plans. I'm actually doing the exact opposite. Here you'll see this is Midtown Terrace, and I still have just a crap ton of map assets that are in storage all over Midtown Terrace. I'm currently working as fast as I possibly can. Every spare bit of time I can is to get these out of here. I don't want transportation mechanics to kick in, and I've just got hundreds and hundreds of assets in Midtown Terrace that are going to be a pain in the butt logistically to move them out. So I'm currently trying to move these as fast as I can, airdrop them for free all over the place. As you saw with that kind of spreadsheet that I'm working through, I'm trying to spread them all out. Once I get 2 in every showroom, well, then, yeah, I'll work through 3 or 4 or whatever. I kind of stopped making stuff as well because it was
crazy. Quake in the Bay Area, the great quake in the Bay Area, which will destroy everything. Like they announced last year on the 1st of April, natural disasters. So just
that's coming too, isn't it? Yeah, so I did, if you're looking on Spotify, looking at the main Samurai Aquatics factory, I had pretty much cleared that out. So that's at least one thing. Previously, this was chock full of map hazards, which if you don't keep up with it, my God, it's a lot of work to get it cleared out. And so I think that's fair warning.
Map asset is very small, like with these treasure hunter markers, they may overlap. So if they're all the same, you can't hit the exact one because maybe it's a bit from the other one over it, and we are pioneers in this sort of gamification.
Yes, what I tend to do, because I'm only moving a few at a time with those swaps, it's if you're moving your own stuff, it's easy because you obviously can see where it is. But if you're sending swaps for other people's stuff, what I tend to do is just go north, south, east, west, and then wait until those swaps get approved, accepted, sorry, and then, but yeah, it's...
Wrote something in the chat. Now, I feel like Upland needs to stop doing new stuff, slow down, and tighten things up to improve the gameplay. Yes. It would be so nice.
We've been saying that for years. The unfortunate part of that is that stuff, well, the kind of the feedback on that or the pushback against that is always, yeah, that's all well and good, but that doesn't keep the lights on in the office. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not specifically or straight up, but it has to help with player retention, surely. So, I don't know. I wholeheartedly agree, but we're 5 years into this thing, and I don't think we've had many examples of that actually coming to fruition.
But hey, they're working on improvements between the great projects, Sparklet and the other stuff.
Yep. Yes, man. See how that all goes. Maybe this will be the last thing on our mind if Sparklet just absolutely moons along with all of the Kryptos that's currently going on. So, yes, just to put a bow in that one, as I said, that I think we've been given a fair warning about that. If we get a month down the track and suddenly we get paid transportation mechanics kick in, you can't really whine and complain. You've had plenty of time to sort it out, so... That's my 2 cents on that one. All right. Now, we got a couple of related quips this week. If you're not aware, quips are questions, insights, provocations, or statements that we might dive into on the weekly Upland Down Under podcast. There's a link to the Google form in the description. If you send one through and include your in-game name, you'll win yourself some kind of prize. This week, we've got 3 quips from Angry Ursia, all surrounding the topic of map assets, which I thought was timely, so I grabbed all of these to patch me in. First up, Angry asks, when transportating map assets, will all players need a truck to pick them up? Will showrooms need a delivery vehicle, maybe with Spark assigned to it to deliver as purchases are made? Will trades still teleport assets? Anybody want to have a go at that while I get an image up and ready? Will transporting map assets, will you need a truck yourself to pick those up? What do you think?
I think we will. I don't have one. I can't afford one at this point, so I will be farming that out if that's possible.
I think it will be different steps we get. We get one because all these cars get some... I don't know what to say in English. You can transport kilograms to 2,000 kilograms with this car and 5,000 with this. And maybe I think if they do, or if they assign a weight to the map assets, maybe we can see this can be transported by the truck, or this can be transported by the semis, or this by the vans, or... Even small map asset could be transported by your normal cars, like an S4 and S2. I think these garden gnomes should be able to be transported by the small cars too. You don't need a semi, but I think there will be some general opportunity at first, and then they will design it further in iterations of it. But I wouldn't be surprised if they say, okay, the first iteration, only the semis can transport, and everyone jumps in and pays thousands of bucks to get it. And then if everyone spends millions on it, they say, and hey, we just adjusted a bit, and now you can transport two with the other cars. Dum, dum.
Well, it can't be the semis first because we still don't have the bloody trailers. So definitely can't be those first, you wouldn't think. What we're looking at here, this is a showroom location I'm currently building in San Francisco to apply for a car showroom MetaVenture. I pretty much have mine all on this property. This is something I FOMO'd into big time. It was actually while I was in Japan on holidays, I FOMO'd in and just went crazy paying, I'd hate to think back big money for all of these vans. I've got 5 cargo vans, 5 utes, the semi-trailer. So I was very well and truly ready for that whole system. But I've kind of been reflecting on that, thinking about that later. And based on everything else that's going on and with the drama of moving map assets, I'm just not going to have the time to logistically run all that. So I'm kind of in the same boat with Lily, where I hope that third-party paid, you know, transportation mechanics are going to be a thing. Of course, Buellerman. Now, you've said that hopefully we do know that the smaller cars do have a cargo carrying capacity of some sort, but how's that all going to work? You're not going to throw your bloody portable pool in your car. That doesn't make any sense at all. However, I go to, shout out to the Aussies, I go to Clark's Rubber. I went there and bought a big, massive portable pool during this last summer period. That fits in the back of my little car because it's in a box. You get home and you unpack it and you stretch it out and you fill it up with water. Are we going to see another crate Armageddon? there's so much shenanigans that could yet play out with this whole system. I don't know.
It would be nice to know if you are able to maybe use a car and the Block Explorer and say, okay, you drive this map asset from A to B and another one from C to D, and or is it tied to my own position like now? That I must drive the semi from LA to San Francisco or something like this to transport, or is it possible to just send my semi and the Block Explorer to do this work and come back after it or something like this, like in these transport simulation games out there?
I don't know. There's just so many unanswered questions there.
If I send myself with the semi, it doesn't make sense to own more than one, except for having one on every continent to be able to move.
Well, that's the other thing.
There are some people who heavily, more than you, bought vans and semis and just to establish some sort of these
transportation
wars,
business,
shipment wars. Shipping wars is this series which is on the TV where and this. Let's see what we can get if we all 60 years in the future. Maybe eventually.
Someday, one day. So, yes. So, Zoe said in chat, could be a reason towards the new map asset size requirements. Yeah, absolutely. Who knows? We just really don't know how it's going to play out. As far as different continents and that, it's one of the reasons why I put up factories in different areas of the world. But once your item has been approved for manufacturing, it's tied only to that factory. So if you've got something that you're manufacturing in San Francisco and you want to sell it in London, well, the days of being able to airdrop it for free, that, you know, the times are ticking on that. So that's what I mean. That's kind of why I'm trying to go as hard and as fast as I can now to get what I can moved as fast as I can. Because, that ain't going to last forever.
Yeah, but last week maybe we get boats. Because of all these own waterfront properties and wind waterfront and so. It would be so nice if they would do some roadmap videos or something like this with a bit more details and not only this. In Germany we say wishy-washy. Not so clear wishy-washy. And everything. Wishy-washy, yes.
Who knows, mate? Who knows? So Angry also goes on. The next one he submitted says, since map asset size limits are being reduced, there you go, Zoe, do you think large map assets will be a feature when you are able to build multiple items on one property? Maybe blueprints for large permanent decor items, perhaps. They would have to be destroyed to move. Oh, wow, imagine that. I don't know. Like, if we look at probably some of the largest items we have at Samurai Aquatics is the Christmas spirals. Like, compared to the new size limitations on those, they're just absolutely ginormous. I really don't know how they're going to do it. Build multiple items on one property, I don't know, mate. It's just I think we're all so in the dark on that. It's just a real crapshoot. Anyhow, he finally goes on to state, we are currently unable to sell or trade properties. Now, this is a very important point. We're not able to sell or trade properties with 3D items on them at the moment, which is a shame. It'd be really cool to be able to advertise, hey, I'm selling my property, and look, it's got a full set of the Samurai Aquatics matching outdoor decor bloody map asset piece on it. That would be awesome to be able to add that as a feature. But, yeah, can't be done. Even if there's the tiniest little thing on there. I've been caught out that before when I was on that big sales push. I'm trying to sell all this stuff, and it kept failing. I was like, what the hell? And then you go and look, there's a tiny little map asset on there that I forgot was there.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, all the fences, Swally said. Someone put hundreds of them around his property and needs to tear them down to get it sold. Oh. But
let me show you something.
Take a bulldozer and clear your area before you sell your home. That's the normal thing from the world, huh?
Yeah. Check this out for as far as digging yourself a hole. Old mate D-Tech over here in LA with his map asset showroom property. You showed me this today. What he's done here. This is what I've swapped him. He's just got all of these things. Very artistic. I said it looks like this bird's crapping on his head, but... Yeah, imagine having to move all those. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be nice to say, hey, you pay $10,000 and get this property with all the assets on it.
All the stuff on it, yeah. I mean,
yeah, it would make so many things so easy, because now I would take, okay, I need to go to a FIFA or NFLPA store and buy tons of this crap shirts, and then do hundreds of swaps, and maybe pay in front and or afterwards, and get all this whining if my swap partner doesn't respond in 30 minutes because I think I got scammed now, and hey, but
yep.
Then, yeah. I think yes, absolutely. They get their percentage too if you put them on it and say it's now $10 more because there's an asset on it, they get their 5%. If they sell it to a store, they get their 5%. It's an improvement between the brick projects.
Absolutely. So Angry goes on to say, so for users trying to cash out, all of those 3D items, including ornaments, must be sold before the final property can be sold. Absolutely. They are unable to be sold if you don't have a showroom. One workaround is trading for legits, which don't hold up property transactions yet. Also, MetaVentures can't be sold, of course. Yeah, and this is interesting. I won't shout out the player's name because I don't know if they want it out there, but they shared with me some insight into what's been going on with MetaVentures that have closed. Previously, you could contact support and they could de-MetaVenture your property so that you could then sell it. What I saw was a response that was basically saying, yeah, we're not doing that at the moment and we have no plans for turning that back on anytime soon. For someone like myself who's got, you know, between all of the other MetaVentures I do, maybe 40, 45 MetaVenture locations, at present, under that system, if I wanted to cash those out and sell them, I can't. There's no way around, which is a bit of a weird one. Even if I strip them all of their map assets and whatnot, the MetaVenture properties cannot be delisted as MetaVentures and sold based on the information that I got a gander at through the week. So, tricky one. Be very careful of... when you're planning to create a MetaVenture, this is kind of Angry goes on to say this, the locations, because you might never be able to sell it. And he also says, caution on making MetaVentures in collections. Yep, absolutely. What happened to players with ornaments that had zero properties when the boxes went into effect? Or were any players even in that position? Question here, what happened to players with ornaments that had zero properties? That's a good question. I don't know. So if you were somebody who did, maybe you sold out all of your properties and you're sitting on a pile of UPEX waiting for the next city release. So you've got no properties. You've still got an UPEX balance there. You've got a dozen structure ornaments. I don't know. Where did your crates go? No idea. Good bloody question. I don't know. I didn't see that. I didn't hear or see anybody complaining about that. It's an interesting question, though. Funny one. Anyhow, so yeah, lots to think about there. And again, I picked those just specifically for this week because I think it just goes back to my main point for the show, which is, you know, fair warning has been given. So cheers very much for that, Angry. With all of those timely submissions, you've earned yourself 20,000 UPEX after fees. Reminder that if you submit a quips and you want to claim your prize for doing so, you have to include your in-game name in your submission. Thank you to all of those that did put several through. I will endeavour to go back through and get those done and put them in the show if they still remain, you know, relevant and whatnot. All right, moving on as we wrap up the dynamic node builders, getting to know community members in this week's getting to know community members segment, care of Mesmi and the other members of the dynamic node builders. They're featuring Coach Funk. Coach Funk is a node manager of the Evergreen. Now, I always say Lasher, but later, how do you pronounce that, Zoe? If you're there, Evergreen, I say Lasher, but it's spelt weird. Laser in Detroit? Maybe you can correct me. Yeah, that's how I say it. Evergreen Lasher. And of the HG Collective, Coach Funk is currently a director with a net worth just over 7 million UPX. He's got 465 properties and he's blazing towards having 10 Spark. His home residence is, of course, in the Evergreen Lasher neighborhood of Detroit, which I checked out before, and it is already impressively built out and just absolutely packed full of MetaVentures. I will put a link to Coach Funk, the HG Collective's Twitter in the show notes as well. So if you want to check out what he's got going on over there, click on that and get yourself involved. Now, I'm going to skip that segment and we'll just go straight to his responses. Where is Coach Funky? All right, so in-game name, Coach Funk, Uplander since November 2021, so been around for quite a while. Been to Vegas, yes. Celebrity, you know the most about. Earl Boykins, tattoos, yes. If you could start a charity, it would be Young Entrepreneurs. Famous fact about where you live, the first US state. Guilty pleasure, flower. One thing you will never do again, plead the fifth. Ooh, there's got to be a juicy story behind that. Occupation, money coach. Most important thing you own, memories. What a good answer. Pet peeve, no respect. Three Uplanders you chat with regularly. Slav, Lightning Leg, and Ginskrilla. All right. Now, I did tease Zoe up if she wanted to give us a bit more information because Zoe is somebody who's heavily involved in Evergreen Lasher. Are you there, Zoe? Or did you bounce? You there? Oh, I haven't got you added to storage. How did you bounce that? Sorry, Zoe. I'm shouting out to you, and you're not even the bloody storage.
That was my fault. My phone disconnected, and being online, it kicked me out. So I had to jump back in and do the whole process. Coach is an amazing support, and he has absolutely created one of the best and safest spaces on Discord and within Upland. And if you've got goals, he's the kind to help you brainstorm that out and come up with ideas and get you moving. So Evergreen is one of the best places to settle down, in my opinion.
Pretty good. I just tried to type it in to go and have a look, but I don't know how to spell it, obviously. So it's up in the top here somewhere, isn't it? Oh, there it is. Look, you can tell that straight away because it's got so many freaking dots. Look at that. Holy moly. Looking very good.
We have a meta venture of just about every type, and any of the evergreenies who wasn't able to put a meta venture in there, we are extending out now. So we've got some in LA, I'm setting up in Vegas, that sort of thing. Seedheads and the evergreen community are going to spread like wildfire.
Yeah, that's cool. Looks like he's got a few things in there for sale. And I believe you're featured in one of these seed heads too, aren't you? I remember that from back in the day.
I am. Cool. I've got the blue-haired one, and I named it Blush, and it will soon become a garden gnome.
That's very cool. Let's see. nothing in the production queue at the moment. Might be tied up as there with stuff, shenanigans there as well. So, yes, well done. Thank you, Mesmi and the team, and thank you, Coach Funk, for getting involved and letting us get a bit of an insight into what you've got going on. If you would like to get yourself involved, or you know of someone in the community that you'd like to be, you know, you want to find out more about, then send Mesmi or any of the other Dynamic Node Builders members a DM, or, as I say, click the link to the DMB Discord server in the description, say g'day, and tell them the UDU podcast sent you. All right, moving on. We need to get this done and dusted. I've got to get to bed. The NBA server competition wheel, last week's challenge. Get yourself in the contest channel within the NBA server. And what was the actual, what did you have to do here? You had to, oh, it was all about Tahoe. Let us know how you went. And of course, if you skipped it, famously I said, and if of course you skipped it like me, no, I didn't. Outline the what, where and why of why you did so. Your name will roll on a list of all entrants for the chance to win 10,000 UPX after fees from me. And remember at the start of the show when I said it was brought to you by Aussie Upland community legend Lily Field and her epic map asset MetaVenture Lily Bud Design Group, and that Lily is offering up a full gardening set as a giveaway. Well, yes, this week's weekly challenge wheel spin is going to decide the winner of that also. So it's one spin, winner take all. Don't forget, of course, that this will also get yourself another entry into the 2024, the massive big end of year giveaway prize draws that I do. If you do not have an entry in for that, well, you better pull your bloody finger out and do so, because, yeah, I give away a fair bit of stuff at the end of the year. All right, let's see who's going to win that. As I said, one spin, winner takes all. Best of luck. And who's going to get it? Jabna Media, I think you might have it. Jabna Media, congratulations. I will point you in the direction of Lily to get that sorted out for you, and I will sling you the UPX ASAP. Now, Swali reminded me that I still hadn't given him his prize from last week's show. If that does happen to you, please throw a shoe at me. I'm not trying to do the dodge. I just got so much other shit going on with moving map assets and whatnot. It's easy to kind of forget, especially like tonight. I'm going to get off this show, get it uploaded, and then get to bed as soon as I can. So congratulations to Jabna Media. Special thanks to Lily for putting that prize up. If you have any sort of promotion that you want to do, giveaways on the show, happy to do that for you as well. I don't charge people for any of that sort of stuff. We're happy to get the word out and for you to get involved. So that's last week's competition. This week's challenge is to get yourself in the contest channel with the NBA server and let us know how you think the transportation mechanics of map assets is going to play out and what you will or won't be doing to get ahead of all of that. Your name will roll on the list of all entrants for the chance to win 10,000 UPX for fees and get yourself yet another entry into the end of year prize draw giveaways. All right, one more thing to do, and that is to give away something for our live participants, people that have jumped in at some stage through the evening. So I'll go back to our wheelie. I did write these down. Let me go through that quick. Swally. And don't forget, we do have the collection reveal. If you have properties in South Lake Tahoe and you don't want them to sell too cheap, then you might want to think about taking them off for sale. It's a bit of a tough one for me. I would love to get up at the time where they release the information, because there's a chance there to pick some up on the secondary for cheap, people that have forgot to delist them, but then I'd have to stay awake for another hour before it all opens up again. So I'll probably get up 15 minutes before it's due to open up, check it out, see if it's worth doing. If it is, I'll do a quick bit of research and see what I can mint. Otherwise, I'll just go straight back to bed. All right, I think I got everybody. Nobody else has jumped in today. Nobody else like Vegan Van was here, but jumped out. All right, that'll do. So this is going to be your choice of a Summer Aquatics Garden Bridge or the Love Heart Jacuzzi. Winner of that is, can Swally get it? Is this 3 weeks in a row, Swally?
Redraw.
Holy. Redraw, are you sure?
Spin yeah. It again. Give it to someone else.
Oh, you legend. Look, I'll boink you out. Good on you, mate. Go and buy a lot of ticket, or a scratchy at least. Oh, there you go. Els Black, I think you've got it. Or has it got it switched over?
I wish I could have that luck with up, then.
Yeah. Yes. All right, Elslack, I will endeavour to be in touch. Like I said, if I do forget, please slap me upside the head, throw a shoe at me, something. Remind me. All right, and that's it for this week. Nice, well, reasonably short one anyway, and we can get ourselves out of here. So that's the end of this week's show. I've probably forgotten to do something. But, oh, well, a reminder that if you're in a time zone that fits with the Thursday night recording schedule starting at 7 p.m. AST and you'd like to get yourself involved, the link to the weekly podcast will always be dropped in the NBA server about 15 minutes before the show starts. That invitation extends to any of the channel's podcast production. So if you have an Upland NFT or Metaverse product, service or event to promote, then send me, Ben60, out a DM or get yourself into the NBA server, which is linked in the description. I do tentatively have a Metaverse and Beyond podcast interview lined up for this weekend. Hoping that goes ahead. It's somebody that I've talked to a few times. We always have a good chat together, so hoping that all pans out. Keep your eyes and ears peeled for that one. All right, that's all I got for this week. Best of luck, everybody, with the collection reveal. Hopefully you jag yourself something good. And yes, if you do have map assets, get on to it. Move them around, do what you want to do, have a think at least. All right, that's all we got.